30 years. 30 years of daytime, and he has the best dimples in the business. Wally Kurth is next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, you guys. Welcome to another edition of Spotlight On here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm one of your hosts, James Law Jr. And with that, you know what the problem is? When you're on here, you should always turn off your sound.
Yes.
There we go. I'm a trained professional. Yes. I'm glad to be here with my two co-hosts and our guest. Right next to me, of course, is Lakretia Lyon.
Hey, guys. You can always find me at Lakretialyon anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And the guy at the far corner, Mr. Frank Moran.
Hey, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
He posts food.
His Instagram is on point.
It's on point.
Wow.
Now, the guy sitting next to him, you know who he is. I mean, seriously, in 1987, the year I graduated high school, this dude debuted as Justin Kiriakis on Days of Our Lives. Later, went on to play Ned Ashton and Eddie Main. I like it. I like Eddie Main. I like Eddie Main a lot.
Me too.
It was really cool. Yeah. On General Hospital. And now he does both. Like, how's that for you? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to interview him a couple of years ago for a few minutes. Now I have him a lot longer. Wally Kurth.
Yay! Hello! Very nice to be here.
Hello. And everybody in the chat room, so glad you're in here. And we'll answer some of your questions, of course, along with ours. Thanks for coming to the show.
Hey, nice to be here.
Yes. Congratulations. 30 years.
Yeah. It's remarkable. I don't think when I started 30 years ago... Well, you don't ever think what you're doing
right now.
30 years, really. You don't want to get that far ahead.
Yes.
So, yeah, it is remarkable. But when I think about when I started back then, it seems like a couple lifetimes ago.
Yes.
But yet it also seems like it's yesterday.
Yeah.
And we were at the old Sunset Gower Studios for just 1 year, then we switched to NBC Burbank in 88.
Yeah.
But and then I was just at Days for 4 years, and then I took 19 years off.
I know.
So then when I came back, it really was kind of like starting over. But not really.
John was
still there.
When he asked you back, we just like, I think you guys forgot about me. Like, how was that for you? Like, you asking me back? Like,
it was amazing because, honestly, I wasn't working. I'd done that little stint on As the World Turns, and I wasn't working, and I was feeling like I'd love to get back to work again. I tell you, when you take a few years off of soaps, you realize, I'm a blue-collar guy. I need to work. I'm not one of those actors that enjoys auditions. In fact, I hate them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just never been very good at selling myself. I'm just, you know what I mean? And auditioning and all that stuff takes a talent, and it also just takes, I don't know what it takes, but I don't have it, whatever it is. Because honestly, I've had like three big jobs.
Right.
I had a Broadway show that went for 19 months, Days of Our Lives for 4 years, and then General Hospital for 15 years, and then I'm back doing both. Yeah. I've really only secured four or five jobs in my freaking life. So, but how those regular actors that, you might say regular, I mean, your basic actors have to are constantly auditioning, and it takes your ego and your self-esteem just can't help but take a beating. Because especially when you think you're just right for the role, and what is wrong with them? Why didn't they cast me? Are they crazy? And I tell you, that's what kept me going. Before I started in soaps, I remember going to pilots and going to auditions. And that's kind of sort of my nature. Is like when I didn't get the part, I would just go home and go, what's wrong with them? How come they didn't see it? they must really. I mean, honestly, what were they thinking? So you have to have that kind of delusional confidence. Like, it's not my problem. It's obviously something's wrong with them.
Like, who likes auditioning? I mean, I know when I go into auditions and you're just like, female Seth Rogen. I mean, that's me, right? And then I'm like, is there anybody else under this? No. But then you're like, what is wrong with them?
Yes.
Yeah. And who likes putting themselves out there?
No, who likes it? There's only some kind of masochist.
Well, I want to give a special shout out to the boys at Audition Days. They could not be here today to talk to you. They want to send your best to you. They couldn't be at Tony Market and Matthew. They couldn't be here. And I want to show a clip. Josh, get that first clip up from Days of Our Lives. And I've been to many Greek weddings, and this one was actually very realistic back in the late 80s.
Justin is crowned the handmaid of God, Adrian.
Look at you two.
In the name of the Father, the Son,
oh my gosh,
the Holy Spirit.
How beautiful is
Amen.
Judy Evans?
She's still beautiful. I met her and she's like so cute.
Justinos,
you John, all that hair back, that dark hair back.
Now listen to this ceremony.
Amen. The handmaid of God, Adrian, is crowned the servant of God, Justin, in the name of the Father, the Son.
This is really realistic. I've been to Greek weddings. It's very realistic.
I got a story for you after this.
And Greek weddings are very, Orthodox weddings are very sing-songy. They do a lot of sing-songy stuff.
Και του Αγίου Πνεύματος. Αμήν.
So I just want to show that. It's
this
just
took
so
place. This took...
Look at the little dimples. They're there, there. Hello, they're there. So yeah, tell us. Yeah, tell us.
It took place down at St. Sophia Church down here in L.A. All the exteriors were in Greece, but this was actually in here. And it, you saw the congregation. It, I mean, they must have spent... Actually, I think they invited fans.
Oh.
I mean, I think they spent some money on extras, but I think it was like, hey, everyone come.
Wow.
Oh,
that's what they did with... Oh, and Joe. Oh, Joe, as you saw. Joe, my wish, rest in peace.
Oh, my God. Jane Elliott.
Oh, my God. She wasn't happy.
Good John.
I know. John is so young there, too.
Wow.
It's just one of those things that it's like, back then they spent money on weddings.
Oh, they really did.
They did.
Every May and every November sweeps, there was a wedding,
was
one
a wedding.
Kind or another.
Oh, I love
some,
it.
You know, look at her. Oh,
I know.
I just love the hair.
And oh, they had him audition days 2 weeks ago. Stephen Nichols.
Yeah.
He was great.
This actor, he's not an actor, he's a real priest.
Wow.
And he had just become a Greek Orthodox priest.
Wow.
And he didn't know any better. But he, that was the exact ceremony. He had just learned.
Oh, my God.
And the bishop got very mad at him. He got in serious trouble because he became friends with Judy. They communicated after this ceremony.
Yeah.
And he got in trouble because basically, in the eyes of the Greek Orthodox Church, Justin and Adrian were married. I mean, it was so realistic.
Oh, my God.
It was so accurate so realistic that it was, like, almost too much. Like, he got mad at him. Like, you
that's hilarious.
Because you can't just marry actors. You know what I mean? It's something very spiritual and very...
Wouldn't it be funny if you guys were like, they said, okay, and actually Wally Kurth and
Jenny
Oates are married in real life. It was so weird.
Jenny and I, we laughed about it for all the time. Like, God. We really are married in the eyes of the Greek Catholic Church.
Folks are actually wanting to know, what is one of the big differences between yourself and Justin?
Well, Justin has a lot more money than I do. And both Justin and Ned are filthy rich, and I don't have any money. I mean, honestly, you think, especially working on two shows, that I haven't even had more money. I'm just not that guy. You know, it's so funny. I'm proud to say that in all of my years, and I've been around a long time, I've never had to wear a suit and tie to work. Now, I go to work and then put on a suit and tie.
Oh, right.
I'll go to work, shower, put on a suit and tie, but I never have to leave the house in a suit and tie and go to work.
Wow, that's a thought.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know.
That's a thought.
I mean, I'm probably not the only one that's ever done that, but I sort of take pride in the fact that I'm a blue-collar guy.
I'm a blue-collar
laborer, and I think what we do in soaps is definitely the blue-collar of Hollywood, the blue-collar actors in Hollywood.
Yes.
I like that.
So I like that you actually have a great way to describe it.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what we have in common. That's probably what we have that's different, too. I mean, you know, Justin was raised in Switzerland and in a private school. I went to a public school in Billings, Montana.
Yes.
I'm the furthest thing from a blue blood. I rode horses and played baseball and was a Boy Scout and, you know, pretty all-American kid. And Justin seems kind of... You know, a little continental and...
Yes.
Not really, I wouldn't say, you know, stuck at himself, but he's a little bit more, a little bit straighter back and the suit and tie and a little more proper and, you know, raised, you know, to be, you know, a proud Greek.
Are you enjoying the resurgence of the Kiakas Can? Because we do you have Deimos and you have, you know, Brady and there's a whole bunch of you guys there now.
Yeah, there's a bunch of us.
I love that house. Who's all living in that house? You guys are all grown folks living in this house. Poor Maggie and Victor is like, these grown men in our house.
There's a lot of people living in that house.
It's sunny and everybody's like, well, who's living there? Jeez.
I think it's great. No, I love it. Yeah, and I, you know, it's... it's been...
It reminds me of Dallas, when everybody lived in South Fork. It's like, you guys are all grown, living in Miss Ellie's house. Like, I know what's going on. It's kind of funny to me.
Yeah, and they never have, like, funny scenes in the hallway. Like, you know, just, hey, you've been in the bathroom long enough. I guess they all have their own private bathrooms.
I would think, yeah, probably.
Yeah, they have their own showers.
just one bathroom for everybody.
It's not a frat house, is it?
One bathroom for everybody. That's like, you're not Victor's house, no. But I think it's a great, because I've met Vincent, of course I know Eric, and I know Freddie. I mean, because there are all these great strapping men in this house that just like are running things.
A lot of testosterone. A lot of testosterone. Pumping through that house, and starting with John Aniston.
Aniston. Yeah. And then we got Ari Zucker, of course. I love her. Yeah. I love her so much. And I'm so sad she's leaving Days. She made the announcement, so I'm very sad she's leaving.
She did?
She made the announcement,
I just talked to her yesterday. I was very mad. I think it's a blow to the show.
It is. And she is a phenomenal actress.
She is.
And a person. I mean, I know her personally and a person. She's phenomenal both.
No, she's one of those actors that when I work with her and she'll do something, I'm like, and after the scene's over, I'm like, you are really good. That was really good. You surprised me. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes you rehearse it, and then she pulls something out, and I'm like, wow, that was really good.
She's tall and stunning.
She can just pull off anything.
But she acts.
Yeah. She's one of those that can make sometimes the ridiculous into sublime.
she's had some storylines, yes. But she makes you feel it. Like, she totally makes you feel it. Mm-hmm. And recently the storylines have been kind of interesting, but I'm sad she's leaving. But she's kind of the female in the house since they got rid of my girl, oh my God, I'm looking at her name all of a sudden, Jen Lilly.
I know.
I love Jen. I love her to death. She knows it, of course. But having her in the house, too, with Teresa, that was interesting, too.
Yeah. I know. Poor Eric Martzoff.
I know. That was his right arm. That was his right arm.
I know. He's lost his last two leading ladies.
I know. It's crazy. But okay, so for you on Days.
Don't date Eric Martzoff. you won't last long on Days of Our Lives.
He's lost like three or four leading ladies recently. You think you had Eileen Davidson? You had as well. People like this. He's lost a bunch of people.
Yeah. Be careful.
He's a nice guy in real life. He's really funny.
Yeah, it's like, you know, getting involved with Sonny. Your career's not going to last long.
You've been
one or two good years, and then moving on. next leading lady.
Well, that leads us into General Hospital. So let's talk about that. I mean, in between your stints on Days, I mean, you were on General Hospital for a long time.
Yeah, I was. I had a good run. I mean, that was... It's funny because General Hospital, there was... The thing I didn't get to on Days, and I've sort of incorporated this in the separation of the two characters, is that Justin's very earnest and takes himself very seriously, and there's a lot more... just serious things happen, you know? And I felt like I didn't really bring a lightness or more of a... Not humor, but just a little bit of a more of that into Justin. So when I got cast as Ned, I intentionally said, I want to bring a little bit more of me into, you know, my work. And so I kind of jumped on that. Whenever I had an opportunity to have a little more twinkle in my eye, I did on General Hospital. So... You know, and then it could have went even further with the Eddie Main thing. Yeah. That's even more of that alter ego, that Wally, because that's probably more Wally. Probably Eddie Main's probably more Wally than any of them. Because,
makes sense.
You know, he gets to just get up there and rock and roll. You know, it's
well, given the way you're talking about it for Days, kind of like the clans kind of building up there. But if like for the longest time in General Hospital, the Quartermain family's just been kind of diminishing throughout the years.
Yeah.
What do you feel like the status of the Quartermain family is in terms of the show?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I do think that, you know, I look at it this way. ABC has invested 45 years into the Quartermain storyline. And I think of them as an heirloom on that show.
Yes.
And General Hospital would, you know, we can't let that go.
No.
It's an investment that ABC made. And so I have told them that... You know, I sat down in the office and said, I'll do anything you want. I don't need a contract. I'm not here to pitch a story. But whatever you need to help me breathe some life back into the Quartermain Mansion, because we can't just, you know, let it all, you know, just sit there and get dusty.
The fans love the Quartermains.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah. So to answer your question, you won't watch. I think that we're just now getting into that. And I think they're going to try to, you know, emphasize that more and bring more characters back into that.
Because I feel as much, it was great to see you come back to the show after being gone for a while, but I also feel like that sense of frustration, just be given real-world situations and the balance between Days and General Hospital, it's like, I feel like we can never give Ned that really long storyline because we never know exactly how long you're going to be available for GH before you have to go back to Days for a while.
Well, I'm doing both, so at this point, they don't seem to be...
Yeah.
I mean, knock on wood. Where's the wood?
Knock on his head.
There's a lot of plastic.
There's a lot of plastic.
It can all go away tomorrow. So I'm just happy to do both, and I love both characters. And you know, I created both characters.
Yeah,
I didn't create Ned, but But for as long as I've been, you know, almost 25 years I've been doing Ned.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
They're yours.
Yeah. I feel like they're mine, and I feel like, you know, I feel like it's, I love this genre, and I'm doing everything I possibly can to keep the genre alive. And so Bold and Beautiful want me, I'm there for them too.
Yes.
Whatever I've got to do to keep these shows on
the
air.
Could you imagine going all four soaps? Like, just
he could be Adam. He could be Adam. And they're always asking about a new Adam Newman. You can go take Justin's old job. Yeah.
You could be Quinn's ex or something on Bold and Beautiful, because that's your ex-wife. Sure, why not? You got back together for him. I mean, like, why not? I mean, like, it's just, that's so funny. I mean, there's only four soaps left. I mean, he's ready for hire. He's not on contract anywhere.
We have a lot of hiatuses, honestly. There are weeks that I'm not working.
You can totally work now.
One question I have about the last year's Nurses Ball. Yeah. So when you're performing there, do you get a choice of, did you get to say, like, I want to sing Elton John? Or do they come to you and say, Wally would like you to sing
Yeah,
the song?
They just tell me. Frank even said, like, Wally, is there a song you want to sing this year? And I was just like, I go, you know what? Whatever you guys want to do, but if you want, just give me, if you have a choice of two, I'll give you my opinion. But other than that, I almost don't want to, like, own it. I'm just like, because it's such a, I kind of like them just throwing me something, like a challenge. Like, that was a hard song to sing, first of all. It's like, really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting any younger. And my voice isn't getting any higher. And so it was like, I was hitting notes, and we had to pre-record it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't even, I'm trying to think of the lyric. But anyway, it's way up there, and I was like, what? So I got to, I normally don't lip sync. I didn't lip sync the other two shows. I didn't, like, you know, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, didn't lip sync that. I didn't sing
that
live. So I usually sing, I'm always live. I take pride in singing my vocal live.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that for, and plus with the little girl, and she was a lot of choreography.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, you know, it would have been hard for her to sing live and to run around like she did. But no, I don't, they don't normally ask me. I mean, it's sort of, and especially because that song was expensive, you know.
Oh, yeah, pay
Elton
for
John
it.
Doesn't give that song
you know
away.
You know he don't. You know he don't. Now, speaking of that, great segue to, let's show this next clip with your former on-screen daughter.
Oh, wow.
Adrienne Leon.
Lived on dreams and promises.
Look at that haircut. Let's face it, I've had a lot of haircuts, a lot of different facial hair. You get bored after a while seeing your face.
You've
been my shelter through the fear. No, I always thought the gold was somehow worth the cost. I learned I'm not afraid to say. Only one I love. Only one I love. Only one I love. You're the only one I love.
I love this scene. I love when she has tears in her eyes. And so, as I have daughters, so as a father, it's like, that's why I put that scene out. All your scenes, that's one of my favorite scenes of yours of all time. Now, you guys, I just think that's such a touching scene.
She was
scene.
Supposed to sing, and she got really emotional.
Yes.
And she, she couldn't sing.
It was so realistic.
I had forgotten about that.
You got a little tears in your eyes, little tears. Yeah. A little bit, getting a little glassy over there.
That was really sweet.
But that's one of my favorite scenes of yours of all time. Again, I have daughters, and I just, it was like, she was kind of, you guys were fighting kind of before the scene a little bit, and just kind of like having some issues, and you pulled out the guitar, and now it's your connection. She sang, you sang.
Yeah.
And then said she did. She stopped singing towards the end. She couldn't do it.
Yeah, she couldn't do it.
I love it. So anyway, how was she to work with?
Oh, I love that she was really, really young and green and you know.
Bring back Brooklyn. We need some more quarterbacks. Bring back to you.
Well, I don't know, but there's been a little bit of, I hear a little bit of that, so. I know they want to fill the mansion up again. Yeah. You know,
Matthew
so.
Evan Payne from Dishon Day says, James, tell Wally I said hi. Say hi to Matthew in that camera.
Matthew.
There you go. He screamed at me to say that, so we did that.
A fan had a really good question back here. It was about Days of Our Lives, but her name is Lisa Mims, and she wants to know when we'll get to see Justin sing for Adrienne again.
I know. I started on... it was actually a producer that used to be on Days of Our Lives, Shelley Curtis, who was instrumental in getting me on Days of Our Lives, because they thought, the networks thought it was a little heavy.
Really?
When I first got on Days of Our Lives, I don't think they thought I was hip enough or my hair. So she took me, I tested, and she thought, okay, I want you to lose 5 pounds. I want you to meet me at a barber shop. I'm going to get you a new haircut. And when you come in, you're going to come in an hour early. I'm going to put you in a new suit. Because I came in with like a secondhand jacket. And I had my baggy and my tennis shoes on. I'm thinking like I'm looking cool. But like I said, Justin's a lot more proper. And, yes. You know, this guy who had a lot more money than Wally Kurth. I was driving around in a Rent-A-Wreck. Honestly, that was my car. You know, remember Rent-A-Wreck? Those rental cars? You could rent, it's called Rent-A-Wreck.
Oh my God. It was
a rental car, and I was a driver for a commercial production company.
Uh-oh.
Pitka. They did all the Michael Jackson commercials. And all
That name sounds familiar. Not talking about Michael Jackson, but Pitka.
Yeah. Joe Pitka, yeah. I was a gopher, so I had to drive around. Oh. I didn't have a car. I had a moped, so I thought, well, I got to go rent a car. Everything I was making went into this Rent-A-Wreck, and it was called a Rent-A-Wreck.
Oh, that's so funny.
Anyway, so I have no idea what I was talking about. Anyway, so I went in, and I did the test. But anyway, Shelley Curtis got me on there, and then she somehow found out that I could sing. So then we started singing on Days, and then she went to General Hospital.
Right.
Actually, I got to General Hospital first. She came in and then told Wendy, like, well, Wally's a singer, we should get that thing going. Yeah. Yeah. And then they had this, you know, the whole Eddie Main thing started. So it was really Shelley that, you know, got that ball rolling.
Because you have Kurth and Taylor has been going on for years on on the outside.
But anyway, to answer your question, Justin, I don't know, because, you know, their budgets are pretty tight.
Oh, yeah.
And music, unless it's an original, they probably won't be able to afford it. You know what I mean? And plus, we go really fast over there. And I don't know, but you're right. I think Justin needs to sit down and sing some Gimme Wings.
She's with Lucas right now, so I don't know. You got to fight Brian to tell
her. I'm going to be singing songs. It'll be some sad songs all by myself.
Yeah, but you could sing that one. How much does that cost, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of sad songs that Justin could sing, isn't there? Yeah, there's a lot of I'm Alone songs.
Oh, but it's funny. On that show, you're alone, but on General Hospital, you and Olivia.
No, rock and roll. I asked her to marry me, and there's like blooming new love. It's so funny, and that's what I love about doing both shows. Honestly, really, one is like I'm totally found the love of my life, and like I'm committing myself, and I'm like I'm starting over. I'm gonna get this one right. I've learned from my mistakes. Dawn and Jenny and Lois and Chloe and Alexa. I'm moving on. I'm a new man.
Yes.
Here we go, Olivia. And on Days of Our Lives, I'm like, oh, after 30 years of the same woman, 3 marriages, and I keep screwing up. There's something wrong with me. I've got some kind of issue with marriage. You know what I mean? And I like it. I like playing a guy that's just like got a problem. He just can't get it right.
Yeah.
You know. And the other one's just like, no, I think I can make this work.
Yeah.
So that scene with you and Olivia in The Floating Rib, I thought it was really good when you explained you're going to work on becoming the man that she deserves. That was really good.
Thanks. And there's some good stuff coming up. We just taped some stuff last week that I think the NIV fans out there are going to
you guys.
Because they're literally the only happy couple on this show, I swear.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, you know what? And and because I think I have this other show where I'm tortured, I kind of like the fact that I'm going to play this as, you know what, we're going to make this work, and we're going to be a couple that's going to be like, we're not going to be tortured and miserable. We're going to like, let's make it for once, try to make a couple that like,
actually
that people can cheer and I mean, obviously we'll still have our issues, but you know, it's one that can work and keep going.
Well, you're connected to Julie, which is, you know, there's always some issues there. This child.
We got enough stuff going. Especially if Brooklyn comes back or, you know, there's other things and, you know. That's the writer's problem to figure that stuff out.
Because one relationship that I really enjoy is that you with Dylan, but of course he changed, the actors changed while you were gone, and now we've got Robert Palmer
Scott
Watkins.
Scott Clifton and now Robert Palmer Watkins,
So I really like just how you guys are really forward, just in the few short scenes that you get to have together, just a real good brotherly chemistry and dynamic between the two of you.
Thank you. I like that too. I love that. And that's another thing about the two shows. I have, you know, a brother that I can be, you know, have this relationship with. A mother, this crazy mother that I get to have this relationship with. And then on the other show, I have a wife of 30 years, this son that we raised, and this uncle, you know what I mean? So again, a father figure, a wife, a son, and the other show it's a mother, a brother, and a soon to be a daughter maybe. Mm-hmm. So there's this, you have those kind of relationships that are very different, and that's how I sort of separate the two characters. If I just like look at the people around me, I immediately become Justin. I immediately become Ned, because I'm, you know, just how we are all of ourselves, personalities and our character is definitely forged by the relationships we have in our life. And that's not any different than on a soap.
I want to commend just that you were part, of course, of a major storyline because you're Sonny's father, the whole gay storyline a few years ago. I like the fact that Justin was actually okay with it. Like, it was really interesting. How was it to play that, just be a part of such a big storyline?
I love that. I loved it. I thought it was really well written.
I agree.
And it was beautiful, and it was such an honor and privilege and to be part of that wedding that was just... Correct.
One of the best things. When Peggy McKay...
Well, we won an Emmy for it. I know. And they should have.
When Peggy McKay did her speech at that one against Caroline, I was weeping like a baby. I mean, she just, like, telling the story about the two guys. I was just like, oh, my God. It was really well written.
It was really well written. And that, in particular, that story, you know, to talk about that and give it history. Give the history of gay marriage and why, when you couldn't even admit... to a relationship, to now where we are, where not only can you admit, but you're in the open and publicly making these vows to each, to one another. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
We should be proud as a society that we've come that far.
Yeah.
No one should have to live in the shadows. No one. And you should be able to love who you love.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so proud. And I love working with Freddie, and I love being a really understanding and supportive and loving father to a gay son.
What shows that is that the stereotype, there's a lot of fathers who actually do are okay. Yeah. More so than mothers sometimes. Everybody thinks the mother's going to get it first. It's like, not always.
Yeah.
But fathers, some fathers are really understanding. They're just like, they want their son to be happy.
I think so too. I bet it's more than 50-50.
I agree with you on that one too.
I can't imagine every parent obviously there's kids that are pushed to, they can't be accepted. I get that, but I bet it's more like 50-50. I'm hoping at least it's 50-50.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I want to show a little clip. We're going to talk more about Days of Our Lives in Your Hostel, but you did do a quick stint on As the World Turns to Sam, and here we go, with a familiar face.
Your Hostel.
What was that?
Kid,
you was like coming in? I was acting up.
Ruining your last chance.
And there's Mara West. It's Carly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey.
Yeah, just get things together here, and then we'll be out of your hair. We're good.
Look at her.
I'm sorry that it had to be this way.
Yeah, look at her.
I think it's best if you move out, and then Kit and I can decide what to do with Metro.
Understood.
I guess this is goodbye, then. I plan on closing early so I can spend some time with Parker.
Okay. No, he's going to kidnap you, so don't worry about that. He's like, click.
So I just want to show quickly
that part, because actually the audio is acting up. But you get to work with Mara West back then. It was so funny. And now, she's on General Hospital killing it as Ava.
It really bothered me, because I worked that manipulated, and that puppet. One of my favorite movies of all time was Magic.
Oh, okay. Love that movie. Yes, yes.
So I really wanted those scenes where I'm talking to myself.
Yes.
And Chris, the producer, knew that I wasn't doing it, so in order to protect me, he would always do, like, singles. Like, not a puppeteer, don't do a two-shot. Because I would watch the show, and I'm like, why isn't it a two-shot? So you can see me. I'm working my ass off. Hey, I'm cowboying. I'm trying to be, a ventriloquist. I'm like, oh, darling.
Oh, my God.
And I'm manipulating. I'm practicing at home. I'm doing the whole thing.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
God.
I could have just been talking like this for what they, they never saw me being a bad ventriloquist. I could have been a bad ventriloquist, but just showed that I'm actually doing it. People probably thought, well, anybody's doing that. Like, no, I'm like manipulating that freaking mouth. I'm like, I'm flying back from, because it was in New York. I was flying back and forth from L.A.
Oh my God!
I take that puppet with me in my luggage. Actually, it's a dummy. I take the dummy with me. It's called a dummy.
Yeah.
And I'd be practicing and everything else, and then I'd be like, they didn't even show me like trying to do a thing. But yeah, that was kind of creepy. That was kind of a creepy story.
That whole storyline. First, you were ex of Bonnie, I forgot the actress's name, but she was a beautiful black woman who was on the show.
Yes.
And she was on there, and you had that. We thought, oh, maybe this guy's nice. He's okay. And it turns out you were super creepy.
And I knew I was. They knew I was just going to be a limited.
Oh, you were okay.
Yeah. And he said, "Yeah, you're going to be like a psychotic ventriloquist." And I went, "Sign me up." 3-month run, psychotic ventriloquist, New York. I'm there.
Do you and John J. York share dummy stories all the time?
Oh my God, that's funny. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I practiced.
Yeah.
I really worked hard.
Frank anyway, loves that dummy.
That was a low point for Matt. That was a really
He's a huge John J. York fan, yes. but he's not happy with them.
That was rough. That was rough days. Come on, Mac.
That's okay.
Oh my god, I love it. He was letting me.
No, although when he does, when they're taking the photo with him and Frisco, and he does put the hand on Frisco's shoulder, I was like, all right, that's funny.
Dummies, you know, it's like children and pets, the dog. You know, what I mean, animals. You got to avoid the dummies. Evidently, it's
I love it. And how sad. Rest in peace, As the World Turns. And
I know.
On forever. A great New York soap. How was it doing in New York soap? Because New York soaps, they have a lot of theater actors. It's very different than...
I was so happy to finally do a New York soap. That's when I jumped and I go, yeah, I'm there. I wasn't working on any show.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how it sort of came up, and they sort of offered it to me, and I said, sure, I'll do it.
That's Christopher Galtman, right? Who was the executive?
Chris Galtman.
Yeah, Chris Galtman.
And so I flew into, like, Kennedy, did a red eye, took a red eye into Kennedy, arrive around 6, 7 o'clock, around 6:30 in the morning, go rent a car, drive straight over to Brooklyn, park the car, get out, go up in my dress room, pull my dummy out. Start practicing. And then, but at the end, you know, when it did get, you know, kind of creepy, it was like, wow, it sort of ended so dramatic and heady.
Oh, it did. I remember the story like it did.
And they had me sing on that show because they knew that I sang. Yeah. And it was just, and I stayed at a good friend's house in New Jersey because if I was there for multiple nights, I had some place to stay. So that was fun to sort of, you know, to have that experience. But no, I always, when I was seeing, I started out in theater. I did a Broadway musical that toured the country. I left UCLA. I was a theater major at UCLA, and I went to a non-equity course call and got into the national tour of the Pirates of Penzance. Yes. And I was Pirate 13 on the right. But I ended up, like, people getting sick, and John Belushi died, actually. What really propelled me to end up playing the Pirate King, Jim Belushi was our Pirate King.
Oh, wow.
And we were in Chicago, and the first understudy was sick. He was out. So I became the first understudy. I was the second understudy, and never thinking I would ever get a chance to play the Pirate King because I was a second understudy.
Yeah.
John died. Jim had to go away for the funeral, so I was in Schubert Theater in Chicago, and I had to glue on a beard. I couldn't even grow, and they called me the Pirate Kid because I looked so young. I mean, I was 22, 23, and I look young now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I looked about 13 back then.
Oh, my God.
So I had to glue on a goatee, and I had a bad mustache. And when I say bad, I mean, I think it was just bad. It was like too full or whatever. I had long hair. But anyway, I played the Pirate King and got to New York. But I thought, in New York, when the run finally ended, I tested for Tad on all my children.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
And he was kind of like an Artful Dodger type. In fact, the producer, even the cast director, said, it's kind of like an Artful Dodger type. And I'm like, I was the Artful Dodger when I was 11 years old. That's how I started my career.
That's funny.
Artful Dodger. Yeah. And I've always sort of played Artful Dodger type things. I didn't get the part. Michael, of course, you know, made it his own, and it was Betty, you know, he was ready to play that. But I always thought the best thing about living in New York and doing Broadway is that you get to do, you know, I mean, doing soaps is you get to do Broadway and you get to do theater.
And many of them did that. Many of them did that.
And so I just thought, well, here I did two, end up doing two soaps in my career, but they were both in L.A., and it's so funny that I never got the, you know, because I love New York. I love living in New York. Yes. I would have easily lived in New York.
One of the best cities in the world.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing Broadway again? Just
Yes, I have. Yeah. I still feel like I've got one more show in me before I'm... Before I'm prone.
Maybe you'd be great in Rock of Ages.
I don't know about that. I was going to do... I was sort of... I could have probably, if I worked harder, I probably maybe could have squeezed into like an episode. I mean, Chicago. Yeah. There were so many people going through the Chicago.
Oh, yeah, there was. Yeah, yeah.
But I would have, you know, I mean, I probably could have, if I really made an effort, you know, I probably could have made that work, but I don't know. I would like to do an original. It'd be fun, but I'm not going to get me an original. But there's sometimes I get, you know, people I know still, people that, comes up like, this is made for Wally Kurth, I would totally jump on it, yeah.
You were pirate number 13. Yeah. You never know. And if you were a king, anything can happen.
With that Artful Dodger flair.
Yeah, because Janiyah here says, you know, Wally still looks the same. Same.
Yeah.
You don't age. We love that. Especially when you have to wear a lot of makeup and stuff all the time. It must be really hot on your skin.
Yeah.
But all that makeup, all the shows. Yeah, all the shows and everything.
And I probably should take better care. I mean, I know that you know, some people like to do the oil and just wipe it all up with the cream. And I'm just like, I don't just use regular soap. But I do like the pads and just kind of wipe it off and then... I put lotion on my face. But I mean, it's just like,
You're like, I'm a barbaric.
But thank you for reminding me. I owe myself a facial. I probably should take go get a facial because you know they say you can verify that. If you wear makeup, you should have facials every once
in a while. Exactly,
yeah. So about once every 5 years, I get a facial.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that works. And Michelle Schaffer can hook you up with some skincare.
Skin Nation. Our girl Michelle. We love Michelle. That's our girl. We love her.
I'll give her a call.
Lounging with Tony, which is Tony Moore, the host and creator of Dish and Days, wants to ask you, should Adrian choose you or Lucas?
Oh, you know, I love the way they've written this because I totally believe that she... I've always thought, why not just play the reality? And that is that they've been married 3 times.
Yes. Yes.
So there must be something that's just not working. Would you marry somebody 3 times? And if you did, there must be something
there. There's something there.
There's something there, and then there's something not there. There's something there, and then there's something that we should all consider. Seriously. Maybe it's just you're better off,
Friends.
And I love the fact that we have this history, and that was the argument I made. You can't give up all this history, and that's exactly the argument that I would make and any person would make. And then Lucas made the perfect argument, but yes, what we have now is something that is real and something that's vital and something that's current and something that's, we can't give that up for just what we thought we had. Mm-hmm. Let's embrace with what we do have. So... you'll see.
Okay.
It's coming up.
Okay.
And I think the audience is going to love it. It's in the next few weeks. There's stuff that comes up, and I think it's really well done. And I'm very proud of... I just love what they're doing. So I think people... So to answer your question... I'll speak as Justin. Of course you should pick me. But honestly, as an objective viewer... I kind of get why she's having a trouble with this one.
Yeah,
And it should be a problem, and it should. Let's hope it keeps going. Yeah,
that's so funny. That's a good question, Tony.
He is.
He's laughing because I'm thinking you're a viewer, also you're a fan of the show.
I do. I watch the show, and I'm a fan, and I just I get it. I get that. That's why I really like the writing because I can. You can totally see that she's. It's a dilemma.
Yeah.
And great dilemmas are good drama. You know?
Can you give us a few words on Miss Nancy Lee Grahn? What's like to work with? We love her. How to work with her?
I love Nancy.
There you go.
There you go.
Her Twitter is hilarious.
Her Twitter is hilarious. Her Twitter is hilarious.
Nancy, I know. Yeah. I know. You go, girl.
She just says whatever.
I'll like it, but I can't. I try not to get too political. I try not to get in there with it because it's just like, you know what? I love Nancy, and we're good friends. And I mean, it's. We had a good rock and roll run.
Yeah, when you guys are together, it's like even when you just kind of meet up, it's like
great.
Like that's it's them.
Yeah, no, it's good, and she's one of those actresses that I think brings out the best in me, and I love Nancy, but what's funny about Nancy and or Ned and Alexis. Mm-hmm. Again, I think the writing is good in that regard because you can kind of see they seem really right for each other,
right.
Once again, it's something's missing. There's something that's just, you don't need to define it. Mm-hmm. Some people are meant to be together and some people aren't, and you don't really have to, I don't even want to get, figure out why, but, I actually watch the show. Again, I watch the show and I think, she and Julian do make a better couple in a way. I mean, there's something about that dynamic that seems, makes more sense. Actually, I think probably because Alexis needs more of that kind of, drama. She needs that kind of thing to really feel the connection. She's got to feel.
Yeah, that's a little bit laid back for her.
Oh, I did like when you did claim to be Leo's father that she was not buying it. Alexis, as
she's like,
I know Ned too well. There's just no way this is what's happening.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That was good. You totally caught me. Yeah.
Because you guys are old friends in a way, too. So she would know you. She would know who you are.
Yeah. And that whole story, too, that we get, when I was having to be, trying to be Sonny's, what's her name? Christine's father. Because that was when Christine, when she was playing with Christine, that was how long ago we were on the show.
I know.
And I loathed that storyline.
Oh, really?
I just thought, really? I'm going to, pretend to be Sonny's, child's father. Yeah. I just thought, I knew that right then. That's a no-win situation. And then just, I don't know. It was just, that's of all the storylines I can take, though. I can take a few,
Well, speaking of
bummer storylines, I've had some good ones in there, but that was one that I was just like, Look, I'll get through this. And so then when they were going to do it again, I was like, oh, really? I'm going to pretend to be the father of another mobster baby?
Yeah, the mobster baby.
Yeah, you're the mobster baby.
Saint Nick. I'm already more like Saint Ned. It's already Saint Ned. No. But now it's like, really?
Speaking of that, Tony also want to know, how do you feel about the current Demira Hernandez-Caracas war?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really in... I guess I'm kind of in it.
Kind of, I guess.
But I'm not, you know, I'm not...
A driving force.
I'm
right?
not driving that story. But yeah, you know, I think that's good to do the get the Kyriakis. Yeah, I mean, you know, family wars, that's good stuff, you know, and so.
Well,
and the
Demiras,
getting the Demiras back and the Kyriakis is back.
Yes.
It's all good.
They were all major characters, like the Quartermaids. They're all like, hello.
Well, speaking of family drama, the scenes with you and Jane Elliott, anytime you get to see those are always great. And when she was in the hospital and you come to visit her, and just the scene in there where she's just. Wants to be mean, but also in her way of loving you, but also being so thankful that you were there. Just really great scenes between the two.
Thank
of
you.
I
Thank
agree.
You.
Completely agree.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, Jane is a dear friend. We've known each other. I mean, honestly, there are times when I look at a script and I'm like, you know, every day I sort of have to, you know, acting is about tricking yourself. You're sort of having to figure. You're sort of tricking your mind to get to where you got to go. And there are times when I say something to myself like. Where did I get that? And I'm like, Jane gave me that idea.
Mm.
That was a Jane trick. That Jane has been like one of those mentors and one of those people that have been, you know, good with advice, but not too much. She's never directs me or anything like that. But she's just been an incredible person as a friend and as a fellow artist to inspire me and be a mentor. I mean, she, you know, she was doing this before. I mean, I came on Days, and she came on afterwards. But she had a whole, you know,
she'd
been on other soaps, and she'd done Elvis Presley movies, and she'd done movies.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
So she just, you know, taught me little things like, well, don't you know? You see the bold print, Wally, where you know, beginning of the dialogue, and it says like, you know, boldly or something. Just cross that out. Cross out the adjective. Cross out the adjectives of what the writers want you to act. How they want you to be.
Oh my God.
And so it's like you get an idea what the writers want, but then you do. You got to just go with what you're feeling and especially the movement of a scene can take so many different turns, and you don't want to be, you know, hemmed in by just what the writer may have thought would have been appropriate. And sometimes you go there anyway. You just go there naturally. But that was one of those tricks that she's given me. But I mean, there are still things that I hear her voice telling me.
Wow. On Days of Our Lives, who is your closest person offset?
Well, Judy and I are dear, dear friends. Oh, yeah. And so we still, you know, connect and talk, you know, just because when you're in the dressing room running lines, you just end up talking about your life and your family. And, you know, she's just a really great soul.
She is.
Eric, I you know, Eric's dressing room, Eric Molotov's dressing room is right next to mine. And I heard him yesterday. I was over there yesterday. And I was like, I got to go say hi to Eric. Yeah. I mean, I very rarely go to hear somebody's voice and go, I got to go say hi to that guy. But Eric's one of those guys like, I think I'm going to go stick in my head and say hi to Eric. And he was just like, hey, Wally, so good to see you. So I feel like he kind of likes me, too. So he's like, so, you know, he's just a really good guy. And
he is a good guy.
And I like working with him.
Now, Tony asked a good question I actually like, too. It's a good. I was going to ask it myself. It's kind of funny. Do you ever get confused? Like, you're on Days of Our Lives. You're like, so I'm Ned. No, I'm Justin. No, I'm, like, do you ever?
Well, I'd still sometimes, like, especially during rehearsal, I'll refer to Justin. And I'm like, I'm over here at General Hospital. You know, it happens more, actually, on Days that I'll say something about, well, are we in the Quartermain Mansion? Oh. And I'll say, Ned this and Ned that, and like, no. Justin, I mean Justin. I mean, like, so it's not like I feel like I'm that character, but I'll use their character name and family name and locations and sets that I should not be. That's where I get confused.
Okay.
I mean, when it comes to the character, I don't get too...
Good.
I can't get too much in my head. Like, well, would Justin do this or would Ned do that? I can't go there. Mm-hmm. I got to just go with my instincts. And like I said, I got to go with the people around me. And I'll let them, you know, define those little nuanced character, you know, ticks that happen to come out, you know. But other than that, I can't. I mean, when I look at the script, I definitely know what my action is and what my objective is in this scene and where I'm going and what I want. But when it comes to like certain character things, I just go with my instincts and depend on the actors around me to kind of, you know, move me one way or the other.
That makes sense.
Going forward, if they, where would you want to see Ned going on GH? I mean, certainly with the Quartermain family getting built up, you'd love to see ELQ kind of come back into prominence.
Yeah.
Would you want to see Ned more on the business side, or still,
well,
you want to have that balance of that?
I would love to be the patriarch. I mean, I'm now sort of at that age.
Yes, you are, yeah.
And there's really no male presence in that thing. And, I mean, Edward was, he was my role model. Edward was everything. I mean, Edward was Edward. And my name is Edward.
Edward. Yeah.
And
right.
So I would like to see, you know, Ned take the mantle and wear it proudly and see what happens. And, you know, that's why I need, you know, some children.
Well, you'll have baby Leo, but let's get Brooklyn back, too.
Get Brooklyn back.
Well, maybe next week Leo will be 10 or 12 years old. You never know.
Exactly.
It could happen. But, yeah, Brooklyn. But, no, I just feel like, I think maybe whatever that means, whatever the patriarch of the Quartermains means, I think that would be really fun. I think of the Quartermains as an heirloom that you can't possibly disregard.
Yes.
And I'm willing, I do whatever I can to help, you know, carry the mantle.
Yeah.
Well, certainly is Edward, loving but controlling. Do you feel like Ned became the patriarch? Do you feel like he would slip into some of grandfather's ways?
Absolutely. Yes.
That's what I think would be fun. I think I could see himself getting into that Edward type of behavior, because that's what he learned, and that's what he knows most of, the manipulative, you know, to get what he wants and all that, and just, And I could see that, you know, sort of taking over. So we'll see. I mean, that would be fun.
Because that would be interesting, because you have Michael, you have Dylan, well, Monica's still around, of course, and then, you know, Jason's in there sometimes. It'd be interesting to see you kind of try to work all them a little bit.
Yeah. And if, you know, if Ned and Olivia get married.
Yes.
Which... I'm guessing they will.
I'm
just guessing they will.
Which
then you have Dante and Lulu. All of that.
And little Danny, and now the new baby. And there's some Quartermains out. There's some Quartermains there.
Yeah, so it'll all help part of that. But I will be the patriarch of that Quartermain little story. I'd love that. So that, to answer your question, that would be fantastic. I've always thought that, you know, that was one thing that when I was on the show for as long as I was like, you know what? If this ends up being my career, if this ends up being my future, hopefully I'll be able to carry on. I'll be the next. I mean, I didn't know Alan at that time. Stuart was still on the show.
David Stewart.
So I figured Alan would be, you know, then.
Then
who knows? You never know how long these shows could go. But they keep going. I would probably be the next in line.
Yeah.
So that's how I would see it.
Sarah C. asked a good question, because both shows, well, all the four shows, have they tape, and then it's like, some are 5 months ahead and some are 5 weeks. Days and GH are very different. Do you like either one more? Like, do you stuff come out sooner? Or?
Yeah, I definitely like General Hospital more, because it's just 3 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'll watch a show on Days of Our Lives, and I'll be like, "Oh, I can't wait! This scene went pretty well. I can't wait to see it." 5 months, 5 months later, I'm like, "I don't even care anymore." It's like, "What did I do 5 months?" I'll actually watch a show, and I'm like, honestly, I do not know what happens next. I'm watching the show, and I'm like, I don't remember what I do in the next scene.
Hilarious.
I mean, it's that long ago, and I've got so much going on in my head. You know, that's one thing you learn about when you're an actor. When you memorize stuff,
you dump it, right?
You immediately dump. like John Aniston used to laugh about that. Like, don't ask me what my, you know, 15 minutes after we tape, like, don't ask me to come back on and try to do that scene again. I would never remember what I just said. You dump it that quickly sometimes.
Yeah. You have to, I guess.
But yeah, no, I think 5 months is too long. And they did it for, you know, business reasons and stuff. But it's just too long. And I think it's hard for the, I was talking to the wardrobe people over at General Hospital today, and they were like, it's hard to dress when you're when you're 5 months ahead. You got to put in people, you know, you're in winter, and it's like, well, it's summer. I can't find a nice coat, you know, or vice versa.
Right.
We're in the throes of winter, and you got to go out and get a summer outfit, you know? And so that's hard even from that part. But I like being on a show that's just 3 weeks out. I can be excited about it. I also tweet more about General Hospital, mainly because I know what's coming, and I can kind of go, you know, on Days of Our Lives, I know either what's coming or what's not coming. So I can't really get, I sometimes don't tweet quite as much about that show. And not that tweeting needs to be so important, but social media is kind of about getting people excited and watching the shows and that kind of stuff. So.
And you have Ron on Days of Our Lives now. So
I'm excited.
You got our old GH person you worked with, now it's on Days of Our Lives.
Ron brought back, you know, he was there when Ned showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After a long time.
Yes, yeah.
And he, once again, he saw what Lisa and I did as Ned Olivia and listened to the audience and listened and saw it and threw us a little something, mm-hmm. liked it then. And I mean, I remember Frank said, I'm going to send this to Ron and he's going to see it. And I'd be like, if he gets excited, you'll get some more. So they mm-hmm. see what we do and it inspires them. And it's hard when you're 5 months ahead. I mean, I'm sure Ron would wish they was a little closer so he could see things and then like be able to respond. But I think it's hard. You gotta like. Well, the network has the same problem too. The network doesn't want to be that far because if a storyline's going south, they can't change the direction of the sinking ship because it's already got 3 more months of.
So I know to keep going. I'm like, oh my god.
Well, you're speaking to the business side of it, and just looking at when James showed the clip of your wedding earlier from Days, certainly budgets have changed throughout the years. And so when you could be on location, do the big spectacular outdoor shoots and stuff, do you miss kind of like those days of being able to do that for the show soap, or is the soap genre so flexible enough that it'd be great to have it, but it doesn't necessarily require it?
Yeah, it'd be great to have it, but you know, I think about all those remotes. I mean, it's probably why I like being where I'm at, because I like the tempo, being in the studio and just doing the work. When you're outside, there's a lot more takes, there's a lot more waiting for the sun, waiting for the light, change this, little shorter scenes, just like a line here, a line there. You know what I mean? It's more like TV, you know, like nighttime TV and film and doing it again and again and again. But I do think it helps. It looks good. You know, I think fans like it. And certainly
that. You're in the park.
In the park at GH.
Well, I have not done the
park at GH.
Be thankful. Be thankful. Those things. Oh, I know.
I watch the show and I do see people on there and I'm like, oh.
Was that broken fan?
Was that worth the effort?
Yeah. So I've been to Jarosville, and I'm like, that's kind of, I know what that is. And that one bench that's right there. Yeah, it's kind
of crazy.
Well,
but Days of Our Lives has their bench.
Yes, they do.
Has their park. It's just not outside.
That bench has been there forever, too. That's like you walk through those gates, and it's a bench there.
A lot of people walk by those gates and that bench.
That bench.
A lot of very important conversations happen at that bench.
They have, actually. A lot of eavesdropping has happened by that bench. On Days of Our Lives, very much so. Unfortunately, we have to end the program. You have to come back.
Yeah, I'm back.
You have to come back.
It was really fun. Absolutely.
Congratulations on 30 years.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Astro fans, for watching.
I'm so weary to say that.
Like,
Honestly, it's remarkable, and I really have no one to thank except for the viewers that keep watching and keep tuning in and wanting to see Wally, wherever he's at. Where's Wally? And I appreciate it. I really do. I love what I do. I love acting. I love the genre. And I love, everybody I work with. And so it's, you know, keep watching because I'm loving it.
And that camera, tell me where they can find your social media.
They can find me on, at Wally Kurth on Twitter. And I tweet and goes to my Facebook page where I have a fan page, Wally Kurth, that's open to the public.
Yeah.
And I do have an Instagram account, but I never use that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so that's it. But I tweet a lot. If you want to, if you really want to contact me, I may regret this. You can, on Twitter, I usually see everyone, especially if I'm notified,
too.
I'll either like it, I'll let you know. Usually I don't know if it's important, but I like it if I even read it, you know, and let people know that I saw that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll respond. And I like actually responding to people, and I'll like take that quote and react to it and then get this a conversation going rather than just me tweeting about something.
Yeah.
I like having a conversation that where they start. So if you want to really contact me, Twitter is really... And then again, when I tweet, it goes to my Facebook page. But I don't always go to the Facebook page and respond.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a direct response, Twitter is better for that.
Yes, it is. Now, Frank, somebody can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And I'm James R. Jr. You can follow us on our GH Report page. We're there every Sunday doing the show for you guys talking about the week that was on General Hospital. And that's on Facebook. And then, of course, you can follow me at James R. Jr. on all social media platforms. Thank you so much for watching.
We'll never get to 2,000 likes, guys.
I know.
We'll never make it.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.